जय
Nati-pritena-cetasa A short purport and Mainly it's just practical considerations, actually. We find an interesting point, though, in the verse, which Trauma doesn't really, well, he indirectly refers to the purport, but elsewhere, definitely, this particular point is definitely discussed by Srila Prabhupada and our acharyas in different ways, in different situations, under different circumstances. So, the general point about a devotee wants to have children, and she feels that in order to do this nicely, there must be certain conditions there of facility and just personal types of considerations. Otherwise, the whole thing is just, it's not going to be at least the way she would like it, but maybe just, it won't even be the way it should be. Could be, but even should be. So that's there, and we've been discussing that sort of point on and off here and there for the last some period of time. But here in the verse, it's interesting. Sarva-bhuta-shaya abhigya kaudhavamuni was such a person, such an advanced person, devotee and mystic and spiritualist, that he could just look at someone and understand their heart. And this is there, particularly with the great devotees. And even someone like Madhava, he is a devotee. He's definitely a devotee, but you know, he's coming from a sort of a more mystical than yogic background. But the mystics, the yogis, they also sometimes get this power of being able to look into someone's heart and seeing what is there within the heart of a person. And then, at least particularly in the case of devotees, being able to help them in relevant ways. Shri, Radha, Radha, Shri, Giri, Govinda, Shri, Chaitanya, Mahaprabhu, Ki, Jai. Okay. Yes. So, therefore, Kaudhava Muni, understanding, having this insight to the thinking of Devahuti, and of course he already knew, in a general sense, he already had the basic idea, of course, but beyond just having the basic idea that my wife wants to have a child or some children. But he had this type of insight. Therefore, we'll find out what happens, won't we, in the next so many days. But the whole story just evolves and develops, as you might expect. Him with his mystical powers and her. Well, him also with his desires. But her particularly with her desires. so, in order to preach, the first thing is to repeat what you've heard. on a certain level, it's very simple. It's just very simple. And we mentioned before that Srila Prabhupada said, at least we were told it, that he said, if all you know about Krishna consciousness is that prasadam tastes good, just tell people that. And you will spread Krishna consciousness. At least to some degree, you will spread Krishna consciousness, because who doesn't like to eat? Only, you know, Kadavya Kapadarajas discussing this to some degree the other day in certain ways. But, you know, you could say only some very unusual person, and unusual in a not so nice way, only a very unusual person doesn't like to eat. And only a very unusual person doesn't like prasada. Yeah. So, yes, anyway, it's, so if all we know about Krishna consciousness is that prasada tastes good, just tell people that. Sooner or later, it won't take long actually, you'll find someone who says, oh, yes, well, that's true. And then if you offer them prasada, well, it can have dynamic effects. You probably know the story how ISKCON was registered in South Africa on the basis of prasada. I'm sort of digressing a little from the theme. But our devotee was in the days of apartheid, 1975. It was like because I was not here, but I think it was like deep apartheid. It was really, you know, entrenched. And I think at that point, those in charge of the country, they didn't really seriously consider changing anything. So our devotee, local South African, went up to Pretoria, Pretoria, and for those who understand the history of that and the culture. And he presented the documents. And we wanted to register with the government, but you had to do it according to race group. And he was white. And the majority of the small number of people who were interested in Krishna consciousness at the time were white. We had not yet sort of hit the Indian community yet, what to speak of the African community. So he presented the documents. We want to register as a white society, religious society. I mean, we had no choice. And we want to register as the International Society of Krishna Consciousness. So the man, who was a real dyed-in-the-wall Africana, just staunch, probably for cropped up, if you know what that means. If you don't worry. Very staunch. He looked at the documents and said, you can't be the International Society for Krishna Consciousness. This is South Africa. You have to be the South African Society for Krishna Consciousness, SASCOM. not ISKCON, SASCOM. And the devotee said, well, you know, we are an international organization, you know, so on and so forth, and this is how we register all over the world, so, you know, we would like to register as ISKCON, International Society of Krishna Consciousness, but the man just wasn't really going to cooperate. No. South African Society, SASCOM. So the devotee had somehow or other, I didn't hear that it was a strategy, but somehow or other he was simply wonderful in his little shoulder bag. And he got a, well, he got an inspiration from Krishna. And he pulled out the Simply Wonderful, and you know, it's not like a packaged commercial suite in some printed, nice-looking packet. It's this handmade, semi-round, partially round, sweet, kind of a little nondescript. And he said, here, take this. My wife made it for you. Which was not exactly true. I think his wife made it for him. Or somehow he picked it up from the mama plate. So here, take this, eat this. And the fellow was taken aback. It was probably the first time in many years of dealing with applications that someone made them, particularly and obviously homemade sweet. So he looked at it. He kind of inspected it. But you know, prasada is very attractive. Just food is very attractive. And prasada is very attractive. And he ate the whole thing in one go. So now he's eating and looking. He's kind of focusing on the taste. Not looking at the documents, just sort of looking into space. And then he finished it. And he said, all right, you can be the International Society for Krishna Consciousness. It's a true story. Prasad and Kijai. Yeah, no, that's true. It happened. It actually happened like that. So, yeah, anyway, we digressed a little bit. But yeah, we were talking about spreading Krishna Consciousness. And my point was, actually, we need to understand people, you know, at least on the most basic level, even if you don't understand the people, just repeat. That's all. Just repeat. But on a more advanced level of preaching, And everyone should use, all devotees should use their intelligence how to present Krishna consciousness strategically in personal ways which will attract the particular audience that you're presenting to. So, yeah, so this is more advanced level of preaching than just, you know, just repeating, although just repeating is also very nice. But if you can repeat, but in strategic, thoughtful, and creative ways, that's very good. So the thing is, in regards to here, Sarva Bhutashaya Abhigya Kandala could understand, well, actually, Prabhupada, in the word for word, it says, understand, abhigya, understand the heart. And in the translation, the way it's put is, he could study the heart. He could study the heart. And, of course, understand. After studying, he would understand. But he would study the heart, look into the heart of a person, and, you know, and take time, because the heart of a person, I mean, you all know your hearts. There's a lot there. It's not just a little, you know, a one-line sentence. There's a whole lot of stuff in the heart. But someone like advanced, like Karnatha Muni, he could go in and study the heart in detail and come up at the end, come out at the end with a a quite profound understanding. And then based on that profound understanding, he would be able to address the person in effective ways. Ways that would really help the person very personally. And even the people will become surprised that, oh, how did you understand my heart? With Srila Prabhupada, it was like that on so many occasions. I can mention one, there a couple come to mind. One devotee, I won't mention the name, but he's a very prominent devotee now, and he was serving Prabhupada preaching in India at that time. And he and another devotee of being in South India trying to enroll people as life members and get them to donate. And down there in South India, apparently, they did very well. They did very well. Many people came forward, became members, donated. It was a grand success, pretty much. So then the devotee came back to Bombay, Mumbai, and Srila Prabhupada was there. And he came in to make a report to Srila Prabhupada. He said, Srila Prabhupada, we had such a wonderful tour down there in South India and gave details how many people and how much Lakshmi collected and like that. And, in a very jolly, enthusiastic, and you might say, perhaps slightly overconfident way. And then, so he finished the report, so many people and money, etc. And he said to Prabhupada, but still, sometimes I feel the influence of Maya. And Prabhupada looked at him and said, you are always in Maya. He could look into people's hearts and understand the reality. And in detail also, and then help them by giving them Krishna consciousness, and encouraging them in Krishna consciousness in ways which would really be relevant and effective to the particular person. Just another thing, I'm mentioning these types of things. Another such event was one devotee, he's no longer a member of this one, I don't know where on earth he is, but he was Pancha Dravida Swami. And at that time, he was a prominent devotee, fairly prominent. And he, well, there are a couple of things about him. And he was sort of in Prabhupada's presence, kind of boasting. Well, he was criticizing householders that they're attached, and it's not good, and we've got to be Krishna conscious, so we should be attached. Kind of slightly aggressive tone. These householders, they're coming on the material platform, that sort of thing. But the sannyasis, oh, they're doing good because they're not attached and they're doing so much service and preaching and so on. And again, there was an element, even quite prominent, very prominent element of crying, patting himself on the back. And Prabhupada replied, "Well, you took sannyas because no girl would accept you." In front of many devotees, it was on the morning walk, and had a very sobering experience. So Kardana. Well, as we mentioned before on occasion, we were told that we were just very, very few devotees that Srila Prabhupada said that Srila Prabhupada was asked, "Do you know everything?" Because when we read Shastra and when we hear the philosophy, then devotees like Srila Prabhupada, it is not difficult to come away with the idea that such people sort of know everything. So that something like that. It's almost automatic, but at least it's quite like that, that a person would be prone to think like that. So anyway, Srila Prabhupada once was asked, "Do you know everything?" And Srila Prabhupada replied, "No, I don't. But Krishna does, and he tells me." Of course, it doesn't mean like everything that's going on in every atom of every universe, but it definitely means that, as Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, chapter 10, verse 10, such a famous verse, and also 11, more or less, Tesha Sati Yukanam Vashatam Priti Pura Vikram Dadani Puni Yogam Tam Yena Mahmukhi Antitek. To those who are constantly devoted to serving me with love, I give the understanding by which they can come to me. Krishna is giving understandings to everyone. He is giving our ladies here, Mother Rukmini and company, understanding how to cut the green beans. You might think it's funny, but actually it's true. And it's a bit funny too. But it's true. Yeah. So, and particularly for the more advanced the person, particularly in Krishna consciousness, the more advanced the devotee, and the more responsible the service, and particularly in terms of disseminating Krishna consciousness, the more Prabhupada, the more Krishna gives the understandings, all different understandings, naturally. Yes, so it was very clear in Srila Prabhupada's case. It was very clear. He was able to tune into people and present to them so nicely and relevantly and effectively that in many cases the people, even ordinary people and particularly the devotees, would come away from being with Prabhupada just feeling that, you know, my heart, it really got addressed. The things that are going on in my heart really got addressed. Even we all, I've had the experience many times, I imagine you all have also, not with Prabhupada directly, but just with the devotees, sitting in a class, say in a class, there can be other situations also, but sitting in a class, and suddenly the devotee giving the class starts talking about something which is on your mind. Did you ever have that experience, or is it just me? Paranoia. He's talking about me. No, so many devotees say that they've had that sort of experience. They're sitting in the class. You know, the class is just going on. They have certain things bothering them or just there on their minds. And suddenly the devotees giving the class starts talking about that. And suddenly the devotee giving the class gives like a solution or answers a question. And the devotee sitting there in the audience feels that, oh yeah, wow. These things are going on by Krishna's arrangement. Krishna is very kind to the devotees. And this is one of the main ways we receive Krishna consciousness through the devotees, directly or indirectly. This is the main way. Even, of course, reading the books, but that means we're receiving from Srila Prabhupada. And then in the classes and discussions and so on. So this is such an important function in Krishna consciousness that how can there be any doubt that Krishna is going to make different arrangements in terms of giving some devotees insight into our heart, and then being able to express these things, you know, insights directly or indirectly, and ability to express and help directly and or indirectly also. This is a very big part of Krishna consciousness. And at least particularly if we have some interest in preaching Krishna consciousness and trying to develop some preaching in Krishna consciousness, which is a very nice thing to want to do, then we should pray to Krishna, please help me to get these types of insights so I can actually help people and not just anyway, yeah, like that. I was going to say, not just in a sort of mechanical way, just repeating things, but even that is so much better than nothing. But that to be able to present things nicely, understand people, situations nicely, and then present Krishna consciousness and its application nicely, in terms of the people's circumstances and so on. As preachers, we should pray to Krishna, help me to develop these types of insights, and help me to develop these types of abilities. Yes. Of course, Srila Prabhupada, you know, he's a unique person in terms of our experience and our time. So he would get such insight, it was sometimes just almost shocking, actually, to devotees, how he would understand them. But we should pray at least more and more to get such understanding so we can preach Krishna consciousness very nicely and very effectively. Hare Krishna. Maharaj, any comment? Right. Maharaj said he heard from the Prabhupada disciples that Prabhupada would, sort of, it was like he was telepathic. Read the mind.
He was giving lecture at Julia out of class. Then discussion came with us about then that Prabhupada used to read the mind reading. And he has given his own example. when he was taking initiation in Chicago, Prabhupada was saying, "Big bigness, something that I don't want bigness. I want clear out of this. Truth, I want this for mercy out there." And he's giving bigness, nothing better than him. When he gave up initiation, Prabhupada looked at that, "Your name is Gopal." Then he given a second mission in Calcutta. Papa first time went to Calcutta, 17. In Calcutta, he was some August program. Some of his Papa's old friends came to meet Papa. He gave it $2. And while talking to Swami, then Swami, my daughter, I'm searching for the husband for my daughter, I can go. You want to work for your daughter? So Prabhupada was looking at all these disciples. He was sitting at the other end and said, "She's so fat, she's going to marry." What is thinking? So Prabhupada was looking at everybody. When he came to his Gopal, he was looking at him. So Prabhupada was laughing. So Prabhupada was away. But after that, I never used to take anything, but Prabhupada takes the children.
I can also mention a little story. Told to me, I will not mention the name of the director. He's very senior, very nice director. He's from Calcutta. He's been a lawyer. And he met Prabhupada actually in London, joined in London. And Prabhupada asked him, he's Indian, and asked, "Oh, where are you from?" And he said, "Calcutta." And Prabhupada said, "Oh, Calcutta, I'm also from Calcutta." And, you know, they spoke a little bit at that point. And he asked Prabhupada, "What part of Calcutta?" And he lived, that devotee had lived, in a street which is just on the boundary between a good area and a not good area. So rather than say that street, he moved himself one street over into the good area. And he told Prabhupada, he said, "From such and such street in this good area." And Prabhupada said, "Oh yes, I know that area. That's a very good area." And that night, Prabhupada was giving class. And Prabhupada looked at him. There's quite a number of people around. And Prabhupada said, "You should never lie to the spiritual master." And this devotee, he told me personally, he thought, "Gosh, does Prabhupada understand that I lied a little to him? Could it be? How could he?" But then the devotee thought, "But it wasn't a big lie. It was just a little lie." And Prabhupada, looking at that, said, "Not even a little white lie." Any comments, questions? Yes, try such an other group. Thank you, Maharaj.
Anyone mentioned about Prabhupada and that sannyasi? Prabhupada says of yoga?
Yeah.
No. The question is that if somebody is endowed with muscle of the looks with that bad karma, it's good fortune.
If someone what?
Endowed with bad karma.
Yeah.
Not good looking, ugly.
Or not good looking. Is it bad karma?
Or is it good fortune?
Materially it's bad karma. Spiritually it's very good fortune. The question was, if someone is bad looking, not good looking, is it bad karma or good fortune? So he said, materially it's bad karma, spiritually It's very good fortune. Yeah? Very good fortune. Thank you. Yes.
I just a slight comment and a question. The point was made prior from Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur that devotee didn't voice her desire. But I was thinking is that that's quite easy if your husband is Kadarma and he already knows what you're thinking. And then as a question, the idea that a preacher should know the heart of a person, I really like that point. But to what level should we understand, should we endeavor to understand a person from a maybe psychological point of view or personality point of view? To what focus interest that we meant to connect with people?
Okay, that's a good point. You know, we should understand, of course, the heart of the person we're trying to preach to. Yes, and then try and deal with them in appropriate ways to be as effective as possible. But to what degree should we try to understand the person? Should we become like you could say, real psychologists? Should we go to university and get a degree in psychology? Seriously, should we actually do that? And at least I would say that not really, but definitely we should pray for the ability to understand our audience in ways which are going to be helpful in Krishna consciousness. Because otherwise we get too much into a whole psychological thing. You know, there's too much detail. There's too much detail. And for that matter, any of you who have studied psychology, right? Some of you have, I know. You know, there's a lot of speculation in there. And things which won't actually help you in the mission. So I would suggest praying to Krishna and trying to develop the ability to understand people and praying to Krishna to help you to understand the people you're preaching to in ways that are going to be relevant for your preaching to them. Something like that. Otherwise you can get sidetracked with a whole lot of unnecessary stuff. Yes, Brother Jim, where's that?
Hare Krishna Maharaj, thank you for the beautiful class. I was just reflecting long time ago when I was a book distribution, and you know, I was approaching everyone, but there's one person that I let out because in my mind I thought, you know, he may not take the book. And then he came up to me and he says, you know, you're approaching everybody that's using me called, why aren't you coming to me? Yeah. And then I said, sure, well, you know, I'm coming to you just now. So, but in my mind, I had this reflection that this person won't take it.
Yes.
So I was just not approaching like that. But ever since I started approaching everybody,
so that's okay. So Mother, she said that she was distributing books and she was approaching lots of people, but she saw one lady, was it?
It was a male.
And one man. And she thought, ah, he's not going to be interested, so she didn't bother approaching him. And he approached her and said, why are you not approaching me? And she, of course, strategically said, well, I'm just coming to you. But, you know, I remember when I was in the 60s, 70s, doing book distribution every day, we wouldn't approach people who are more than 30 years old. Oh, yeah. And if you're older, like 50, 60, just we wouldn't even look at them. Because it's all prejudice. It's a conditioned type of perspective. Yeah, not very insightful. But at least you are out there. Good. Better to be out there and not be very tuned in than to just not be there at all. And you know, step by step, in due course, then Krishna will give his mercy, you'll get more insight and you'll become more successful. Hare Krishna. Srila Prabhupada.